Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW. It's a Mesiro Monday, and we say good afternoon, good evening. Noah Block from Mesiro. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you, John?
I'm doing great. The market's okay today, and they were a little trippy last week, but generally speaking, it's been a wild year with some big ups and downs, but a lot of people are looking at their 401ks or their IRAs, and they're saying, oh, things feel great. But I hear data of unemployment going up and inflation being extra sticky. Do you have a lot of customers coming to you at Mesiro saying, what's happening here?
Yeah, that's a lot of our conversations right now. I mean, the market's doing really well this year. It's been bumpy, but it's positive for the year. And I think a lot of our conversations are with clients trying to make sense of that, given that the day-to-day news domestically and internationally, you know, isn't that positive. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the day-to-day, you wouldn't necessarily think the market's up for the year. So a lot of the conversations are trying to explain why that might be.
So what do you tell John and Jane if John's like, well, I still have my gig, but my buddy lost his and is having a hard time getting one. I'm getting a little nervous. What do we sell everything because the market's doing so well? Like, what sorts of conversations do you have to kind of keep things a little bit more level?
Yeah, we try and bring the conversation back to the client specifically, right? So the market necessarily isn't an indicator of how they're doing, of how their portfolio is doing, about how they're invested. So we try to bring the conversation back to them, tell them how we're planning for, you know, worst case scenario or for a potential drop in the market should that occur, and to think about themselves, their income, their expenses, and how everything applies to them, not necessarily the headline news.
That's great. That's how you chat with your clients, is you get to know them, I imagine, pretty individually, know what keeps them up at night or what makes them sleep soundly, and kind of deliver a plan that fits and caters to those kind of apprehensions and hopes, right?
Right, and that's what's most important. We want our clients to sleep at night and make sure their allocation, their investments, their plan is set up such that they can do that in good markets and in bad markets.
Okay. 877-MESIRO, MESIROW.com. Just getting started with Noah. I made him come up with the five spookiest things you can do with your finances. Did you roll your eyes when you saw that was going to be your assignment, Noah, or are you cool with it?
No, I thought that was creative.
Okay. Spooky season almost here. Our Mesiro Monday continues in a moment. We'll do a question of the day for a WGN Radio t-shirt after Lauren's 6:30 news, which is coming up, and then we'll chat about how the Department of Transportation, some of their policy changes, are taking money. Well, it hasn't been given to these places yet, but we're going to talk to someone that thought some money was coming their way to work on bike trails, and not so much anymore, and what that means for them and the Department of Transportation. We'll do that in a bit. Noah Block here from Mesiro, MESIROW.com. And Noah, you ready to do the five spookiest things you can do to your finances?
Let's get into it.
All right, let's start number one. What is the one of the spooky, and these are in no order of the spookiest to least spooky. They're all spooky.
Right.
Got to stop saying that. What's number one?
I think number one is not tracking your spending or following a budget.
Tracking your spending, like actually knowing what you're spending your money on.
Exactly. You know, thinking about what you're spending your money on, focusing on the big ticket items, maybe the fixed costs first, and then going into, you know, the smaller expenses, the variable expenses, but really trying to keep tabs on what that is.
Yeah, I bet most people don't, or don't do it as diligently as they should. Like, if you ask me how much money I spend a month, I think I'd get it around there because I know what my mortgage is, I know what my car payment is and the insurance, and I think I know what we spend on groceries, etc. But I think where people maybe go wrong is that there's always that extra little something each month that you maybe don't think is repetitive, but it is. And if you don't track that stuff, you're going to end up being way out of whack on your budget, right?
Right. You end up being way out of whack on your budget, and you end up not being able to save, which is kind of the most important reason you keep a budget, is to be able to budget for savings.
So how do we budget correctly? Is there a way? What should we be doing first as we analyze what to budget?
I think a lot of times with clients, we actually think about it counterintuitively to some people, and we think about the savings part first, and we try to automate that. We try to make that automatic from a paycheck or a transfer from a bank account to an investment account. Because if we can kind of take that money out of the bank, then most people think it's not there and can't be spent. So as long as we're taking care of that savings, that 20, 30%, whatever it might be on the front end, it helps with the budgeting for expenses on the back end, right?
Where most people do it, or I definitely do, is I'm like, all right, let's say you have $10,000 a month coming in, three to the mortgage, one to the car, two to the insurance, and wonderful. Oh, that only leaves one left for savings. You guys advise, perhaps, with your clients, no, knock out the $2,000 or $3,000 in savings first, the 20% or 30%, and then figure out how to do the rest of it.
Yeah, and I think you got to play around with it. It's you know, month to month, you change it up a little bit to see what works. But trying to automate the savings is how we find the most success with people actually saving over time.
Okay, what's spooky item number two?
Spooky item number two kind of goes along with budgeting, and that's carrying high interest debt. And that you know, we're not ranking them, but that could be one of the highest.
What would you call a interest rate that's too high? I mean, the credit cards, right? Obviously, but like, is there a number in your head where you go, let's get rid of that as much as we can?
I would start at double digits interest rates. Anything above 10%, I would categorize as high interest debt.
And that would be credit cards, personal loans, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's mainly credit cards debt is what we would focus on for that.
Why 10%? Why did that number stick out to you?
A lot of times we're looking at the opportunity cost, right? What could your money be doing in the market versus paying down debt? And, you know, long-term market returns, call it in the 7 to 10% range, is kind of what's guiding that advice. We want to be, you know, outpacing that, whereas interest at 10, 12, 13, 20% is going to be a bigger hindrance than investing at 10%.
So, like, if you're like one of the lucky people that has a mortgage of 3 or 4%, it may make you feel better to pay down that principal. And if you want to, by all means, go ahead. But you wouldn't consider that a scary or a spooky debt, because you could use that, your own money, to make more than 4% a year. So just leave the mortgage where it is if you want.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense to me. All right. Spooky item number three. What do you got?
That would be delaying retirement savings.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
This is what I preach on this show more than anything else, is trying to save as much as humanly possible as early as you can. And actually, let me retract that. Try and save it whatever you can. Right. It doesn't have to be as much as humanly possible, because time is really on your side, right?
Yeah, exactly. Time is on your side, and, you know, investing is on your side. And putting money away as early as possible and letting it grow is, you know, one of the best piece of advice anyone could give you.
You got some numbers for me to help drive this point home?
I do. Okay. I do. So I have two different examples. One is somebody starting to invest at age 25 and putting $500 a month in the market.
So I'm just out of college, got my first job. At 25, I start saving $500 a month. How long am I doing it for?
And you're doing it till you're 60 years old. So okay, for 35 years, and we're going to assume a rate of return of 7%, which, you know, is reasonable for a 35-year investment. Mm-hmm. That person just saving $500 a month would have a portfolio of about $900,000.
$900,000. Now, ideally, you're going to do more as you go, and it'll be higher. But just for reference, all right, that scenario, 25 to 60, $500 a month, is $900,000. What's scenario two?
So scenario two is very similar, but just waiting 10 years to start investing. So starting at age 35 and only investing for 25 years. That same 500 at 7%, and that person would end up with a portfolio of a little over $400,000.
So less than half.
So less than half.
So even though the time is way less than half of the time, you're invested for like, what, 70% of the time, you're losing on more than half of what you could have.
Right. It just goes to show that compounding over time is really, really powerful.
Okay. That's important. All right. What's spooky item number four?
Spooky item number four would be neglecting insurance or not having enough insurance.
Okay. And you're talking about the whole gamut of insurance?
Yeah. I mean, specifically, we focus on, you know, more of the life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability insurance aspect of things, but that would also include, you know, auto, homeowners, umbrella insurance, anything to protect your assets.
Do you think a lot of people just check the box and don't actually look at what they have? They go, I'm insured, I've got all these insurance rates, but if you ask them, what's your car coverage in an accident? Or what's the payout of the term life insurance? Maybe they don't know the details.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, don't like to think about what using the insurance would mean, either death or an accident. So it's something that people kind of breeze over in their financial plan to avoid thinking about, you know, the negative things in their life.
Okay, so neglecting insurance is number four. The fifth spookiest thing people could do with their finances, in no particular order, I feel like this is like the old David Letterman show. What's number five?
Not having an adequate estate plan. And, you know, I think estate planning has a misnomer of being only for, you know, the rich and famous.
Right.
But really what that means is having a plan in place to protect and distribute your assets should something happen to you or when and if you pass away.
I think that parents sometimes, or grandparents, don't seem to realize the pain and suffering, if you haven't been through it yourself on a messy estate that you've had to then work with your siblings to figure out, if you haven't gone through that, I don't think you realize the mess you're leaving and the cost you're leaving to the next generation.
Right, right. It's a total mess. We've seen it, and it kind of can separate families at times just based on the, you know, the problems that arise if there's not a clean estate plan. So similar to life insurance, it's something people kind of avoid since it's a topic that they don't want to think about. But it's really important for that next generation.
We flew through those five things. No, I love it. How about on the podcast that we do over the next 3 weeks, which we'll post at WGNradio.com every Monday, we dive deeper into them. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, Noah Block. Take care, my friend. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Spooky season. Five spookiest things to do with your finances from Mesiro. 877-MESIRO, MESIROW.com. Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesiro advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesiro at 877-MESIROW.